It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. We believe that retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of a person's life. So don't retire. Become repurposed. Well, I'm your host, Jared Sebesta. I'm the co-founder of Retire Repurposed alongside Ben Tejas. Thank you so much for joining us today. Whether you found us on the radio, maybe you found us online, if you would just head over to iTunes, find our podcast, click subscribe, and better yet, leave us a quick positive rating and review. We would appreciate that so much. Now, this podcast, it is about retirement, but it's not about the financial side. It's about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. Few people can flip the switch of working a career, owning a business, having an identity, walking away on a Saturday without methodical steps into living what we call a repurposed retirement. If you want more for your life and your retirement, then you have come to the right place. Well, on this episode, we continue our series on retirement stories with Scott Lawrence. Scott is the CEO of Lawrence & Schiller, a marketing and advertising agency based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and he's also the author of The Leader of the Band, a book of leadership lessons from his early career as a high school band director in small town South Dakota. In this podcast, Scott explains how he finds energy by interacting with others and how retirees today are missing out on opportunities to make and grow relationships. Enjoy this episode. All right, we got Scott Lawrence on the phone here today. Scott, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Well, I'm just delighted to be with you, Jared, and look forward to talking a little bit about some life stories and leadership and, you know, what it's like to be 65.
Well, 100%. Yeah, I want to get into that for sure, because right now society is telling you, sir, that it is time for you to kind of back off, retire, and kind of just do your thing and let the new wave come into play. We'll get to that in just a second. But Scott, I want to talk about, first of all, you're a big player in the Sioux Falls area. You just wrote a book a couple of years ago, actually, called The Leader of the Band. Tell me about the title of that book and what people would learn by reading it.
Well, the title of the book is entitled from I was a band director before I got into the advertising world over 37 years ago. I was a band director for 6 years, and I grew up with music. I grew up; my dad played in bands. I was in all kinds of music stuff in high school, along with sports, and just found a real love for, you know, getting the rock band together. And we had a band in high school. We got to play at the World's Fair in Spokane, 1974. And,
wow.
And just had a lot of fun adventures. I went off to college, didn't know exactly what I was going to do. So, you know, I took, I thought, oh, maybe I'll be a business major. So I took intro to business, but I still loved, you know, the music part of it a lot. So I was over in the Fine Arts Building one day at the University of South Dakota. And I was had my bass guitar, and I was practicing on some licks, and it was in a practice room, and I was singing. Pretty soon there was this knock on the door, and I said, "Yeah, come on in." And he said, "Hi, my name's Larry Torkelson. I'm the head of the choral. I'm the choral director here at University of South Dakota." And he said, "What do you have on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 o'clock?" And I said, "Well, I've got intro to business."
Yeah.
And he said, "Not anymore. Come with me."
Really?
He took me out and put me in his car, went over to the registrar, and he changed. He said, "This guy's taking choir on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can't do general business. You need to change it." So he said, "There you go." And from there, I started spending time in the Fine Arts Building and met a lot of good people and decided, you know, I think this music thing could be for me. And I took a music ed track. So that led me to teaching for 6 years. And the book, The Leader of the Band, is simply titled that because it's lessons I learned from the kids that made me a better CEO. I mean, I learned a lot of just really valuable things in life by the kids and other teachers and being in the school system and understanding what it's like to be a success, how to be a successful teacher, and then how that translated into business. And quite frankly, my agency now has been my band for many, many years, and getting them all to play together and work together. That's kind of the premise for the book. I just wanted to get it down on paper and to talk about it, because, man, it's been a long, strange trip, you know?
That's interesting that the kids taught you lessons. Do you care to share maybe one of the lessons you learned or shared in the book?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, one of the chapters is 98 Degrees in the Shade. Hmm. And in 1983, my marching band from Marion High School, Marion, South Dakota, got selected to represent South Dakota in the National Independence Day Parade. And we auditioned along with about 52 other bands, and we got picked to be one of 50 bands to march on Pennsylvania Avenue on July 4th. Along with that, we marched in Philadelphia on July 3rd, and the trip out there was long and grueling. We raised the money. We worked on routines, and, you know, we paraded in every town around Marion South. They all wanted us to come in and do our thing. And so we got to D.C., or we got to Philadelphia. It was 102 degrees, and the tar was sticking to our feet on the parking lot as we got ready to go down the parade route. Lost 5 kids in the parade from heat exhaustion, and we got loaded on the bus and headed towards Tyson's Corner Marriott, Virginia, right outside D.C., and got there about 1 in the morning. And the kids were tired, and they were crabby. Their uniforms were still soaked from that afternoon march in Philadelphia. And I said, well, you guys, get them dried out the best you can. We got to leave at 5:45 in the morning for the parade grounds and start staging for the Independence Day parade. Oh, man, come on, come on. I said, no, we'll be fine. You can do it.
Yeah.
So sure enough, we got to the parade grounds that morning, and already at like 7 in the morning, it was pushing 100 degrees and high humidity. And the kids were tired, and I just rallied them around. I said, listen, guys, this is your once-in-a-lifetime shot to represent South Dakota in this parade, and you know what? We're going to do it. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it our best, and we're going to do it better than we've ever done it. Well, we lined up, and just as we were going onto Pennsylvania Avenue, a little north wind came up, a thundercloud came up and dropped some rain on us, and it was just beautiful, and we marched down that Pennsylvania Avenue. Man, the kids just sucked it up, and they really, really performed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the next day, that night we went to the mall with about 500,000 of our closest friends and Neil Diamond and celebrated the 4th of July. And the next day we did Smithsonian, got back from the Smithsonian about 4 in the afternoon. And there was a note at the front desk of the hotel. It said, please call this number. And it was the parade committee. And I called the number, and they said, are you at the hotel now? And I said, yeah, we're here. And, they said, we'll be out in a few minutes. Stick around. So we got out. This van drives up, and they pulled this 10-foot trophy out of the van and said, congratulations, you won the National Independence Day Parade.
Wow.
And the only reason I bring up that story is certainly not to brag or anything. It was the kids.
Hmm.
And you find out that the lesson in my book about 98 Degrees in the Shade is that empower people to do their jobs, and you're always going to find out they got more gas in the tank than you think they do.
Right.
And that's been a cultural philosophy that I've practiced for years here at the agency. Don't coddle them. Don't hold them back. You know, give them the opportunities. Get them out in front and ask them to do things, and they'll grab it,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get going. So that's just one of the chapters in the book, and they're all chapter stories from my days as a band director that all relate into things that you can bring into the business in terms of leadership and little practical things that can apply.
But yeah.
People are tougher than you think they are, and you got to challenge them, and they'll rise to the occasion.
Absolutely. I love your energy. You've got a lot of energy for a guy your age, and that's certainly no disrespect. Talk about like just where that came from. Were you raised small town South Dakota? What was your mentality as a child? Talk about your parents a little bit, your upbringing. How did you get to be you at this age?
Well, I grew up on a farm in Northwest Iowa. Lawrence Farms over in Northwest Iowa, and that was my upbringing on a farm.
Yeah.
And my mom was the principal of the school, and my dad farmed, and there wasn't ever anything that my mom just said, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you know, and school participation and all those kind of things.
Right.
But she also taught me lessons of giving back, and you know, around Christmas time, she'd make me dress up in a Santa Claus suit and go into town with her and deliver gifts to families that probably wouldn't have that good a Christmas that we knew.
Hmm.
And, you know, I just kind of learned those lessons from my parents. My dad challenged me on the farm to be a problem solver. My mom and dad taught me work ethic, and they just said, Scott, if you want to get it done, roll up your sleeves and get it done.
Wow.
That's how you'll do it.
Wow.
And so I kind of learned that at a very early age and then all the way through. And I've always been kind of, you know, people say, Scott, you, where's all this energy come from? And, you know, quite frankly, Jared, I can't tell you where it all comes from, but I will tell you this, that, you know, I love life and I love opportunities, and I love the opportunities that being out and about give you to build relationships with other people. And, you know, the last chapter of my book, or the first chapter of my book, I should say, Coffee in the Kitchen, it's all about how I didn't know squat about teaching school when I started, but I started talking to people and building relationships in the kitchen with the cooks, in the coach's office with the coaches and with the elementary teachers, and found out that those relationships that I built then helped me tremendously, and I still have some of them today. And I've learned that over the years, the energy I get comes from other people and from seeing other people do well. And I just enjoy it. You know, life is a great thing, and you got to grab it and you got to go for it with gusto. There's no reason to sit back.
Yeah. I love that. And I certainly love somebody that sits in your seat saying a lot of those things. I've looked at your resume. You're certainly well engaged amongst the community and amongst the state. Transition your story. Now you're a band teacher and you get into advertising, essentially found Lawrence and Schiller at some point in time throughout your story. How'd you get kind of into that step to where you kind of are now?
Well, you know, I taught in Wakanda, South Dakota for 4 years, and then I got lured. You know, somebody asked me that question in my presentation last Thursday. They said, you know, you loved Wakanda. What made you go to Marion? And I simply said, money. You know, when you're a 24, 25-year-old kid, and all of a sudden somebody offers to double your salary, you kind of take note of that.
Yeah.
And I was in Marion for 2 years, enjoyed it. Like I said, we won that National Independence Day Parade, but I'd always look out the window, you know, as I was washing dishes at home, helping my wife or something, think, you know, there's something else out there. So I started looking, and the assistant band director at Sioux Falls Lincoln was open, and I was going to go up to Sioux Falls and interview for that job. And before I left, my phone rang. It was my brother, Craig Lawrence, and he said, hey, Paul and I'd like to talk to you tonight. You're coming to town, right? I go, yeah. He said, we'd like to talk to you. So I went up and did my interview at Sioux Falls Lincoln, and then I met up with those guys, and they took me over to, at that time, Westward Hole Country Club, and said, we'd like you to come to work for us. Hmm. We like what we see, and we think you could be a good fit for our company. So, at that point in time, the offer for financial remuneration was such that it was alluring, and I said, right. I don't know anything about the business, you guys. They said, that's all right. You'll figure it out. And that was June 10th of 1984.
Whoa.
When I started at Lawrence and Schiller, and I was an account executive and then worked my way up to vice president of account service and new business, and slowly worked my way up and eventually ended up being president and CEO in 2002, and completed the buyout of my brother and his partner in the latter about 2008. And, just kind of one of those things where I kept, you know, nobody's going to give you anything.
Right.
You got to go out and earn it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go out and get after it. And that's what I've always believed my whole life, is just go out and get after it. And good things will happen,
yeah.
You know? Good
yep.
things will happen.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like a lot of those life lessons you heard from your folks growing up on the farm, and even through the kids and being a band teacher, no matter what the reasons were, feels like you're on a path where you're really hitting your stride. And that's, I think, is so inspiring about you. Let's talk about you now. 65 years old. You have a fervor for life, a fervor for people, clearly very optimistic. Describe maybe what the feeling is that society puts on you as to how you should be behaving at your age compared to how you feel. Do you feel like there's a bit of a complex, like a dilemma there?
You mean about how I'm acting as opposed to being 65?
Right. You're not acting your age.
No. You know, I believe that age is just a number, and I think age is a relevant thing. I think age is kind of what you want it to be.
Yeah.
I don't look at myself as 65, and my staff members would say, "Geez, Scott, you don't act like you're 65. You act like you're 45 or 50, or whatever." And part of that is just I just love being around people and being out and do things and helping. And now, you know, I have a new leadership team in place, and that leadership team is going through the process of, we're setting up the buyout, and in December 1 of 2025, at that point in time, I will be out, and the new leadership team that will be in, I've been grooming people for 12 or 13 years.
Right.
And now they're doing the day-to-day. I'm still president and CEO, and I got relationships with a lot of company people, but they're doing a heck of a job. And people say, well, Scott, you know, it sounds like you're kind of retired. I said, no, I'm not retired. I'm still president and CEO. But the cool thing is today I get to do the things I want to do and not the things I have to do.
Right.
And I'm really, really enjoying it. I think, you know, you read my resume. I'm on probably too many boards, but, you know, I love that kind of stuff. I love giving back now. My goal now is to help grow South Dakota and grow Sioux Falls and
right.
just give back to a city and a state that has done so much for myself and my family.
Well, that's phenomenal. Again, you're just such a perfect example of what we are trying to inspire people to do. You know, here you are now. You know, you're kind of eyeballing your quote-unquote retirement. I'm using air quotes as I'm saying the word retirement, but, you know, you kind of have a date set. Looking forward to it, I would say certainly with expectancy and optimism, but for a different reason. Because a lot of people, when they eyeball, they know retirement's coming in, you know, 2025. It's more of a countdown to where my life begins, and I'm not hearing that at all from you. It's like I'm living life, I'm stewarding the next leaders in my company, and I'm looking forward to what's ahead.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, one of the greatest things you can do. As a leader, a CEO, manager, whatever, is hire people that are better than you. Hmm. And, you know, I'm proud to say that this group I've got coming up, you know, most of them are better than me. And, you know, there's things that I can do that they can't, but mostly the way they're handling things is much better than I was. And it's such a joy to see people get an opportunity to have a piece of the action and, you know, a piece of the dream to own.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy for them. But here's the thing. You know, I'm around till December 1 of 2025. That will be my last year. I'll be president of the Sioux Falls Chamber Board of Directors. I will be president that year, and that will be my final year on the board there. And then I'll be past president. But what I'm doing now is building my consulting business and my speaking business, because when 2025 comes around, then I'm lining up consulting gigs, because I get a lot of people calling me about, how did you figure out how to do these transitions? And how did you figure out how to buy it in the first place? And how do you transition? And do so. I've been out doing some consulting with some other agencies around the country. And I think there's a good business for me out there. And I want to keep doing that, you know, on my schedule, on my time. But I'm going to keep going even at 2025, which at that point in time, I'll be close to 70.
Yeah. Well,
but hopefully. Got a lot of gas in the tank, and I think I will.
Well, at this point, you certainly will still have some gas in the tank. This is a dumb question and maybe just a hypothetical, but and I'm not being facetious by this question. Why do you do it? What drives you to do it? You could easily just kind of, you know, do the status quo retirement. I think I'm answering kind of your question for you. Obviously, you love the high of building relationships, and obviously you feed off that, but you know, why are you doing all this, Scott?
Well, you know, that is a good question, and I'm not sure that I have a really great answer for that. But I believe that, you know, I believe that God gave us one opportunity to be on this part, His plan for us, and being here on Earth. And I believe that we owe it to whom much has been given, much is expected. Mm. Okay, and I just feel that I love to do it, but I kind of want to help other people do my job and have fun. And, you know, like I always say at Lawrence and Schiller, are you having fun doing what you're doing? Because if you're not, you're in the wrong business. If you
right.
can't have fun in the ad agency business, you know, it's not worth it.
Right.
So I just, you know, I don't know. I have this expectation for myself. I set a high standard. I set a high bar for myself. And, you know, my wife asked me, you know, when are you going to be done as chair of the board of trustees at the National Music? And I said, hon, as soon as we've got that new wing fully outfitted with it, all the, you know, the displays and everything that we need, I said, we just got to raise $6 million more bucks and we'll be there. And she said, I figured you'd say that, and, you know, and she said, how long are you going to be on the state chamber board? And I said, probably as long as they'll let me serve.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watch a guy like Dan Kirby here in town, who's, you know, is older than me, but he just keeps going.
Hmm.
And know, still has a great impact on our community, and that's what I hope to do.
Through your lens as a person, 65 years old, leadership, you know, clearly having a life of influence and impact, what is your generation missing? If there's people out there not stepping into this higher calling of influence, what is maybe the one thing that they're missing out of their life? Can you put your finger on that?
Oh, yeah, the opportunity to maintain and grow relationships. I feel if you just go into retirement and say, oh gosh, now I can kick back and read my book and watch TV and do what I did, that I think you're missing out on so much opportunity in life.
Yeah.
I think that too many times people think that, oh man, they're going to love retirement. Finally, oh gosh, I can retire now. I'm retiring. And many times I find out that they're not nearly as happy retired as they thought they might, you know?
Yeah.
So I might encourage them to go volunteer, you know, go valet park at Sanford, go, you know, be a greeter, do something.
Yeah.
Get out there and have an opportunity to say hi and to meet and you know, use your talents that you've been. And, you know, some people just kind of hole up after 65, and that's prerogative. It certainly will not be mine.
100%. Yeah. It sounds like you're all about experiences, learning new things. You talked about just growing, being a big proponent of retirement. What's something you want to grow in and maybe learn how to do after you walk away from Lawrence and Schiller?
You know, I just want to continue to work on my speaking and leadership presentations.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful that I can be you know, one of the leading in the region at that point.
Yeah, good for you.
On leadership and agency growth.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Where's the music come back into play? Are you still a musician?
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got up at the lake, I got a band. I call it the Beach Band.
Nice.
And there's four of us that live on the beach, and we get together probably, three, four times a summer, we'll play.
Yeah, good for you.
I occasionally play in a praise band at church, you know, and sing in choir and do that kind of stuff. So the music will always be in play.
Yeah.
You know, my wife gives me a hard time. I always have music on at the house. And it might be classical piano. It might be classic rock. It might be, you know, gospel. It's hard to tell what you're going to find. You know, I always tell people, look at my iTunes list, and you'll see a lot of eclectic thought processes in there. But I like all kinds of music. Orchestra, you know, I'm a chair of the president of the symphony board, have been for 7 years. This is my last year in that role because we finally found a good successor to take over for me. But I love symphony music, too.
Hmm.
And this is our 100th season, so they wanted me to at least stay on through the 100th season.
Well, I just love your story, how you were raised on a farm, got into music, kind of went a different direction into an ad agency, but music's still a part of your life and in your life experience and something you still hold on to. I think it's just a really great story. Let's fast forward the clock. This is your last question here today before I let you go. You know, 50 years from now, you know, Scott Lawrence is gone. What do you want people to say about you? What do you want your legacy to be?
He was a hard worker. He was fun. He was a great husband. He was a great grandfather. And he really did a lot for our town, our state.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want. And I want, you know, the people here at AC, who knows what it'll be like then. But, you know, I want them to know that I care.
Mm.
I want them to know that I really care for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's the legacy I leave, that's the legacy I would be happy with.
Well, I think that's a phenomenal legacy, and you put others first and really focus on relationships, whether you're retired or not. I think that's a phenomenal life lesson. So I appreciate those words. Before I let you go, Scott, one more question. Where can people find more about you, Lawrence and Schiller, and maybe your book?
Well, you can go to L-S.com, www.L-S.com. There you'll learn more about me, and then you can find out how to get the book. If anybody is listening to this podcast wants a copy of my book, you just go to our website, you send me a note in your address, and I'll be happy to give you a book. Mm-hmm. I got a bunch of them. I'd be happy to give some of your listeners a book.
Awesome.
Happy to do it.
Well, we appreciate that. I hope our listeners take you up on that. It sounds like a great story, and I'd love to get my hands on a copy myself. Well, Scott, I appreciate your time here today. God bless you on your journey. Well done so far, and I'm excited to see what this next phase has for you. So well done.
Well, thank you for having me on today, Jared. I really appreciate it.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Scott Lawrence, CEO of Lawrence and Schiller. Staying connected, having community, serving, caring for others. These are all great life and leadership lessons that Scott talked about, but these certainly apply to the retiree. Scott, we appreciate you sharing your story. Again, for more information and a copy of Scott's book, The Leader of the Band, visit l-s.com. Until next time, I'm Jarrett Sebesta. Remember, don't retire, become repurposed. We'll see you then. It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Hey everybody, Jarrett Sebesta here, host of Retire Repurposed. Now, this podcast is about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. We believe retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful, purposeful, and fulfilling season of a person's life. So don't retire. Become repurposed. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.